Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Echo Base. It really does feel like Echo Base here in the first week of January. We had sub-zero temperatures Fahrenheit here the last couple days, and I am looking forward to spring on Hoth pretty soon. But before we do that, let's introduce the rest of our hosts here. It's first time for 2018. We have Tim with us. Tim, how are you?
Misa back.
Oh boy, here we go. And Eric is with us. How are you?
I'm doing great, except I feel bad that I don't have a character who talks funny that I can kind of
no, don't feel bad about that at all, because I appreciate that.
I mean, I could do yub yub, but that's about it. It's not like a whole vocabulary of vernacular.
You need to brush up on your Huttese.
Uta guta solo.
Yeah, I'll work on.
Oh boy. Oh
boy.
So are we happy for 2018? Are we ready for all the new Star Wars stuff we're going to get this year?
I tell you what, as sucky as 2017 was, it's hard to think that I couldn't be excited for 2018. It's like, you know, I could get hit in the head with the meteor. Not like a meteor crashing into my house, but actually hitting me in the skull. And I think that 2018 would be better than 2017. So I'm excited.
Oh, awesome. Eric? Oh, I think he just got hit in the head with the meteor. Oh.
Not false alarm.
That doesn't look good.
Yeah. We have to find a new host.
Lou, what's 911 for where Eric lives?
I don't know. It's down in the smoke signals.
You have to turn the crank 9 times, and then you pause, and then you turn the crank 1 time.
Once. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
No, it's, know, there's going to be some cool Star Wars stuff this year between Solo and the Thrawn book, another Thrawn book, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. The finale of Rebels.
Yeah.
And presumably, more importantly, I don't know about more importantly, but on par with that, when we get the finale of Rebels, I imagine it's not going to be much longer after that that we get an announcement about whatever the next animated project is going to be.
I hope we get it before the end of Rebels. I mean, I would hope they would prime that pump before we actually get to the end.
I would hope that, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I agree with you, and I would like it to be that way. Mm. But given how they're handling all the marketing for the different projects, they're letting The Last Jedi drop off the slate before they advertise for Solo. Say,
marketing or lack thereof marketing for Solo.
Yeah, they want you to focus on whatever the big thing is at the moment. And then after that's done, then they'll let you look at the next thing.
Yes, because the public cannot maintain visualization of more than one shiny object at the same time.
Hey, I tell you what, I never underestimate the stupidity of the masses as a whole. Other than our listeners. Our listeners are awesome, of course.
Yeah, I would agree with that. People can't focus on more than one thing at a time, but it just seems that we should have had something before now for Solo. Yeah. We'll get that. We have some of that in our notes here for news, but I mean, I think first off, I mean, it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded. We did the last recording with the week before Christmas. And I know Eric had seen The Last Jedi twice at that point. You and I, Tim, we hadn't. I have now a second time seen it. You have as well, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, good. I got to see it in IMAX 3D, or not 3D, but IMAX, which I was impressed with. It was nice to go to a big screen and see it on the giant IMAX screen, but it was an older theater, so screen had a few artifacts on it. I wasn't all that impressed with the clarity per se, but it was nice to see it on a big screen.
Was there like people were like throwing wet Skittles up on the screen or something? And they were sticking up there?
No, there was a crease in part of the screen. You can kind of see some light bleed through. It wasn't, you know, a brand new crisp screen, unfortunately. But
gotcha.
I am more happy with the movie now that I've seen it a second time than I was after the first time. And I was pretty high on it the first time.
But here's the question, Lou. Why is that? What is it about seeing it the second time that you feel makes you happier with it? Because I think really that's what a lot of people out there who haven't been all that thrilled with it, they're like, why am I going to go see it a second time if I didn't care that much for it the first time?
Well, yeah, and that's a valid question. I mean, if I didn't like it, I probably wouldn't have seen it the second time and a third. I would have waited till it's on video or something. But, you know, I did enjoy it, so I wanted to see it a second time. And I think that having seen it once already, going back in and getting, you know what's coming, so you can focus on the details more, maybe you get more out of it the second time, you pick up things you missed the first time around. That, to me, was well worth what had happened and what I got out of it, so... To me, that made all the difference in the world, especially in the small, nuanced things you're trying to pick up.
Okay.
So I have a completely different thought on that, at least for me personally, and this may apply to some people, it may not apply to others. For me, I will say that I tried not to go in with any preconceived notions or essentially baggage going into to see the film. But I think in a lot of cases, when there's a lot of speculation out there and a lot of hype about a movie, you're still going in with something, even if it's in the back of your head. And so as I watched the film, I had some of that was influencing me. And there was a lot of, just like we saw in the trailers for the movie, I thought in the film itself, there was a lot of misdirection. When you, as the story progressed, you would think that something was going to happen and then it changed. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I mean, I don't want a movie to be predictable, but I think that as I went through the movie in my first viewing, that was almost annoying to me. And there were certain things like flying Princess Leia in space, which like stuck with me and made me angry for a while. Yeah, and I couldn't let that go when I was watching the movie. Having experienced that whole thing once and then going to see the movie again, and I was able to let go of the vast majority of that. And that second time, I really just enjoyed the movie. Okay. Certainly much more than I did the first time. I became much more open to the film.
Now, I have to say, the Leia thing, I think part of what bothered me about it the first time around was that the visual seemed a little bit odd and I wasn't expecting it. But the second time, the second time I was expecting it going in, and I found I didn't really mind it as much. The story aspect of it aside, because there's a whole different discussion we can have about that. And I'm not bothered by that. I think it does fit the story from a certain point of view, and I'm okay with that. But I think a lot of the little things that kind of irked me the first time around, and they were, for me, they were mainly minor annoyances other than not getting an explanation of Snoke. And that didn't have any effect the second time around either. It's the same thing. But I guess a lot of the issues, they just didn't bother me anymore. And there were a lot of other details I was able to pick up and say, oh, okay, well, that explains that. And I wasn't paying attention to it the first time. And everybody I've talked to, with one exception, everybody has said they've liked it better the second time around.
Yes.
Even the people with big complaints. And the one exception was someone who liked it a lot the first time. And the only reason they didn't have any change of opinion the second time was, well, I still like it a lot. Like, they didn't really have a lot of the issues the rest of us had the first time around. So I think that if you've seen it once and you're on the fence, go see it again, because you're going to have a different perspective on it. It really, as you said, Tim, it was so so much about the misdirection and challenging people's expectations. And I like that. I don't want a cookie cutter Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people complained about with The Force Awakens. And I think that once you get past the jarring aspect of some of the shockers, and once you get your expectations dialed back into what you know is actually going to happen, then you can sit and watch the movie and enjoy it, pick up on the minutia and the details that you missed. And it makes for a much better viewing experience.
Yeah, the details, especially like you said, Eric, you're not concentrating on the awe of the entire movie. Now you're just focusing on the details of what you missed the first time, what you may not have noticed was going on as it was being, as dialogue was happening or something. So that was a huge thing for me, is picking up those small things. The Princess Leia thing still bothered me, the whole flying through space thing. That, yeah, you know,
fair enough. Roger that.
It didn't get any easier the second time seeing it, but I got over it more quickly, I think.
Yeah, so did I.
You know, just because you knew it was there, you're like, oh, okay, here it comes. And it went away, and then you're like, okay, fine. Now it's over. I can focus on something else. And I was also, for me, it was, you know, watching the screen, seeing things I hadn't seen the first time, and also looking over at my wife and seeing her experiencing for the first time as a non-Star Wars fan, what she picked up and how she was actively engaged with the screen. She really enjoyed the movie, and she was, you know, actively paying attention and seeing what was going on and seeing what she could figure out herself. And I think from a non-Star Wars fan, it was fascinating to watch that happen.
Now, you know, we talked back on the Forcecast about you introducing her to Star Wars for the first time. What were her thoughts on episode 8? What was her takeaway?
I mean, you know, she, well, aside from the flying Leia thing, which she didn't like either, she enjoyed it.
Okay.
She thought it was a, you know, engaging action movie. I mean, you know, she's not looking for the same level of meaning behind things that we saw, but, you know, she picked up on things. She picked up on, you know, even little things like the, you know, the kid walking out at the end and the broom coming to his hand. She, mm-hmm. you know, she picked up on that, which I was, you know, oh, wow, that's great. She caught that type of thing. So, I, you know, just as a non-Star Wars fan, I was just impressed with how engaged she was with it.
Good. Good.
So, you know, in addition to us seeing it again, I mean, in our notes here, we do have the fact that it's now passed $1 billion. It's actually $1.2 billion globally now, according to Box Office Mojo.
What a disappointment. What a disappointment.
Well, disappointed that you could only gain $400 million from it in Movie Draft, I guess. But
yeah. So guess what rule we're doing away with for the next Movie Draft? Lizzie,
No.
Come on. You guys both lost that fair and square to Lizzie. So.
Yeah.
What's fair and square?
Hey, I had all three of my Thanksgiving holiday weekend movies removed. So
yeah,
that would, and when you look at it, that would have made up that $75 million gap. Just saying.
It probably would have. Yeah, probably would have.
$25 million apiece. That's not hard to do.
I mean, she gained a huge number from Jumanji.
Oh,
but this
gosh.
Is not a
nobody
movie
expected
podcast, so.
Jumanji to be that much of a juggernaut.
Right.
No.
Right. So see, I think the article that we had linked to in our show notes, had some old specs on this from, I think, the 31st of December.
Yeah, it was a few days old.
So I'm trying to get to the right thing here now.
So while you're doing that, it's what another thing that's interesting about the box office is this was the fastest drop off for a Star Wars film at the box office. It was number two, or it was number one.
Really?
For only 2 weeks. In week three, Jumanji overtook it. And in week four, it dropped to third place domestically.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that's the first time
that's
for a Star Wars film.
That's pretty interesting. But, you know, Jumanji was a big number to come out of there. I mean, it was one of the first movies that really was going to give it a run for its money compared to what happened with Force Awakens. Everybody moved away from that weekend. So,
yeah. I don't think word of mouth about the confusion and everything of it or any of the controversy, I don't really think that hurt it that much at the box office. I think what it is over the past few Christmases, I mean, it kind of started with Harry Potter back in the day, and then we got Star Wars, and then we got another Star Wars, and then we got another Star Wars. I think the other studios are picking up on the fact that there's money to be made at the box office in the winter.
In December,
yeah.
Right.
And so I think that they're putting, I mean, I don't know whether I'd call Jumanji a tentpole or not, but I mean, it's a big movie. It's an action film with Dwayne Johnson, with Jack Black, Kevin Hart. I mean, it's not a small film.
No.
Yeah.
I think studios are wising up, and I think we might continue to see this in the future.
But by any stretch of imagination, this doesn't make The Last Jedi a failure
in
the box office. I mean,
it's
up to 13
in China.
But it
always has.
The Force
Awakens died in China too.
Yes. Star Wars was not allowed in China back in the day.
Right.
And so we don't have generations upon generations that have grown up with it there. So episode 9 will bomb in China too, as well as a lot of the Latin American markets, I believe.
Mm. Yeah, but, you know, which makes it more impressive that now, you know, worldwide grosses, this is number 13 in the list of all time at $1.2 billion.
Yeah. And it's only been out for 4 weeks.
Too shabby.
Only 4 weeks so far.
Yeah.
Well, and in some countries, not
even
that.
Weeks. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to crack the top 10. I don't know how much higher it's going to go than that. I mean, another 200 million puts it above Age of Ultron, puts it in sixth or seventh place. So it'd be interesting to see where it ends up finally.
Yeah, if only Disney were somehow able to make their money back from this Lucasfilm purchase, you know? I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, $4 billion.
They spent so much money on this. Yeah. Oh, well, let's see. Where else? Oh, yeah. So speaking of Star Wars movies, Han Solo, or sorry, Solo.
Yes, Solo. What
a dumb name for this movie.
I agree.
In the big reveal they did for it, too, I'm like, really? That's what you're giving me after all this hullabaloo of, you know, turning over the plaque and, but Solo.
Right. It's like they couldn't come up with something simpler or shorter in title. Like, it was already taken. Otherwise, I'm sure it would have just been it. The Star Wars movie.
The only thing that would have been worse if it could just call it, you know, Han. I'm like, really? No, but
I don't know. Even Han would have been okay. I mean, Solo, maybe it's about Kylo Ren's early years. You know?
Yeah. So we had some news here about the score. So, you know, John Powell is doing the entire score for the movie.
Yes.
And John Williams is doing part of it. He's doing a theme. Now, I don't know what theme he's doing. Is he doing a theme for Han Solo, or is he doing the main theme for the score? I mean, it's been unclear as to what they're talking about here. Have you guys heard any more news about this than I have?
No, and I had seen some early misreporting that's been since corrected or taken down, saying that John Williams is doing the score, and then it was correct. No. John Williams is doing the theme. No, right. John Williams is doing a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't think it's been clarified what theme he's doing. A lot of people are assuming, and I think that there's some logic to this. If you're bringing John Williams in, you're probably going to have him do the main theme for Han. When you think about the stuff that's already out there, there is a theme for Luke.
Right.
And it's kind of tied into the Force theme from A New Hope. There's a theme for Leia, and Darth Vader has a theme. Han doesn't really have, if I recall correctly, he doesn't really have his own theme, does he?
Yeah, I don't think he does, no.
No.
So maybe this is a good thing, and maybe this is exactly what they're bringing Williams in for. I think it's a logical assumption,
yeah.
But no, I don't think it's been officially clarified yet.
And, you know, I also think it's funny that they talk about this as if it's a big revelation that they're doing these scores in a style that was, you know, Williams. And I'm like, well, of course they are. I mean, it you've got to have that backbone of the Star Wars music that Williams originally penned. I mean, you can't do this totally new out of the box without having any of the themes that we've had before.
You know what, though?
I think it's one of the huge things that ties all these movies together and makes you feel, you know, good about the process.
But I kind of feel like they did that a little bit too much with Rogue One.
Okay.
I love Michael Giacchino's stuff. I've been a fan of his work ever since Lost. I think he's a brilliant composer, and I think that he did a good job with Rogue One. But I think that he paid homage to John Williams' themes without really, really connecting with him. It, like I said, back when we reviewed it, it almost felt like with the opening theme, it felt like any of those other things from the late 70s and early 80s where, like, you had a space toy or a space movie and you wanted it to be Star Wars-ish, so you had this kind of fanfare and a Star Wars-like theme. And it seemed like all of these other knockoffs I grew up with, and it was high quality, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't Williams. And so I'm glad that they're doing this with Solo, and I kind of wish they'd done this with Rogue One. I kind of wish they brought him in at least long enough to get kind of a foundational theme written.
Okay.
That then Giacchino could work around from there. And of course, you know, I say all this and it kind of sounds like it's an insult to Giacchino, and I don't mean that, but
if there are, and I have very few complaints about Rogue One, but the two that stick to me is that when they did the, first of all, when they put up Rogue One, Star Wars Story, up on the screen, that just seems to be so unfinished to me.
Really?
Because it was like, I didn't like that they did it in an outline. I think it should have been filled in like the actual Star Wars logo is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they just, here's a placeholder for it. And it doesn't have that punch.
Maybe it was on their to-do list and they forgot about it.
Maybe. And the opening... The opening music that corresponds with that also doesn't seem to have that punch to me.
No, it does not have a punch.
It was too brief. Yeah. It falls very flat. And it's like, this is a freaking Star Wars movie. And you guys put this up and it's like, oh, hey, movie. Okay.
Right. Right. You're right. It didn't have that, like, punch. That's the word I'm thinking of. You hit it right in the head.
And that was a tough thing for me to swallow. Like, I still notice it every single time I watch Rogue One, mm-hmm. but particularly the first time seeing it was like, that goes up and it's like, oh, that's it. What? I'm in the right theater, aren't I?
Yeah.
This is a Star Wars movie, isn't it? What,
you know, why even the was Clone I not Wars blown television, away
with opening music?
Even the Clone Wars television show has that punch at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it goes into a totally different style of music. You've got the kind of the tribal drum setting and stuff. But mm-hmm. you still got that initial pow, that
right.
And then it kind of goes from there. And Rogue One, really, it almost kind of just faded you into it, and then it released you.
Right.
And it's like,
you were expecting
a
pop, but it's like you slowly come in. I'm like, okay, where's the big, you know,
It wasn't about the lack of a crawl, and it wasn't about the lack of it coming up at the very beginning. As I was okay with the little prologue scene, and then that, it just, it didn't have impact.
And I wasn't expecting the Star Wars theme, but I was expecting something strong and notable. And I hope that with the Solo film, they correct that.
I want the theme. I want the first measure or two. It's a standard. And every single Star Wars movie opens up with that, and then it drifts off into something else. And of course, part of that is just to get through the crawl. And if you're not going to have the crawl, I understand not having quite as many measures of that theme going, but I still want to just have that initial opening and then break into whatever the heck you want to break into.
Yeah.
Give it some consistency, some feel to it. But, you know, I mean, although I do kind of agree, if you don't have that crawl, maybe you don't need to, but maybe something you just got to get used to.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that we're going to be happy with, but maybe we'll get used to it.
And listen, we're not losing sleep over this. This isn't one of those, I'm never going to watch Rogue One again. You know, it is what it is. I love the movie. I think we all love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one of those things where we're expressing how we feel, and it felt distracting and it felt jarring. And we went on from that moment to enjoy all of the rest of the movie. I don't want to sound like, you know, we're a bunch of haters.
Right. There is that something you're missing. It's almost like you don't even know you're missing it, but you know you missed it.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's almost subconscious, but.
Right.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, if I can just kind of tag on to what Eric was just saying, and I think we actually touched on this a little bit like 3 weeks ago, the last time we recorded.
Are we going to talk about the haters?
Haters. And that's just kind of what I want to go into, that, you know, there is so much stuff, especially on social media, and social media is like the most horrible, wonderful place in the world. But you can be a fan of something. You cannot be a fan of something. You can talk about things. You can critique them. You can say things that you like and things that you don't like. And if you happen to mention something that you don't like about a movie, that doesn't mean you hate the entire movie. That doesn't mean that you are directly attacking someone who does. I mean, unless you're being a jerk about it, and you actually are. But, you know, you can critique things and you can have discussions. And I don't want to belabor this, because I think we did talk about this a few weeks ago, but I just want to stick that reminder out there and kind of put an exclamation mark on the end of what Eric was saying, because that's really where we are with this. It just seems like the attitudes that we have seen in social media have just been so crazy that someone can say, oh, I didn't like this, you know, the lighting in this particular shot in The Last Jedi. Oh, screw you, man. Why do you got to be so negative? And I can't believe you hated the movie. And no. That's not what any of this is about. Let's have a civilized discussion and move on. Yeah. So that's all
like
I'm going to say about this.
Need to have a fight for the sake of fighting. You know, listen, Lord of the Rings, big budget movies. Mm-hmm. Very well done, based on a classic book series. It's a big deal. Lord of the Rings is a big deal. We don't do a podcast on it. I, for one, I'm not that big a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And Tim, you are, and Lou, you are. That's why we do a podcast. So we discuss these things and we analyze it and we talk about the experience of Star Wars and how the experience of Star Wars affects us, because we're fans, because we're so passionate about it. So, we got a piece of feedback recently that talked about and I don't mean to toot our own horns, but it's relevant to this, and it's exactly what we're shooting for, and I'm glad that people are picking up on this on our show. They appreciated the fact that we're balanced and that we can enjoy something without, you know, pretending it's perfect. We can acknowledge the flaws. We can appreciate everybody else's perspective, the people who loved it, the people who hated it, and everybody in between. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. Stay drama-free, look at it, delve into it, because there's a lot to talk about and there's a lot to delve into, and be balanced.
Yeah.
Well said.
I mean, there's a lot in Last Jedi that I liked. There are some things I didn't like. It is not one of my favorite Star Wars movies, but it is definitely not low on the list either.
Oh, it is one of my favorites. And what's wrong with you, Tim? Man, you got to be a hater all the time, you hater. Man.
We can go back to talking about Rogue One, because I freaking love Rogue One.
You know, I just
got other things to talk about. Come
shameless
on.
Plug before we get on to lose other things to talk about here. I do address this a little bit on one of the more recent episodes of Aren't You a Little Short for a Podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Which I know not all of our Echo Base listeners are listening to yet, so I have to.
I don't think all of our hosts like that yet either, but sorry.
I've
been busy. What do you want?
It's okay.
I think they're great. I think Eric, you do have some great commentary in those shows, so folks definitely should listen to them. Oh, and they are short. I mean, you keep them like 5-10 minutes.
That one wasn't.
I mean, most
tried.
Of them have been fairly short.
Yeah,
so
they're all going to be
really
about 10 minutes
listening.
Or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke. Okay, so speaking of the lack of marketing that we talked about a few minutes ago for Solo and you know, talk about the movie itself.
Solo.
You know, I'm not sure where this came from, but there's rumors that we're going to be getting a trailer or at least a teaser of some sort dropping this Friday on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
I did, you know, the link that we put in the show notes here has who was the social media that dropped this?
Hint? Oh, I don't know. I just
it's not really
one,
even a hint. It was from Star Wars Legacy tweeted this. It says, rumor, Solo teaser to drop on January 12th on GMA. Okay, I mean, it doesn't say the source. It doesn't say where he got the information from. I mean, I could say, hey, it's going to appear on Tonight Show on Wednesday. I mean, I'm like, really? What's the source behind this? But, I mean, I think it's about time. We are, what, 4 months away
from
this movie coming out?
No, but yeah, about
right?
4 months, I guess.
And in May, so, right?
Mm-hmm. So I've seen this in a few places. It's, if nothing else, it may be fake. I don't know. But it's consistent with what they did with Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistent, I think, with what they did with The Last Jedi, right? It wasn't the initial teaser. We got that at Celebration, but didn't we get the full trailer on Good Morning America?
Probably, yeah.
I thought we got that on Monday Night Football, didn't we?
We got one of them on Monday Night Football, and we got The Force Awakens on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
This is, I mean, it's consistent with...
networks are owned by Disney.
ABC is owned by Disney. It's their network. They're going to show it there.
ESPN is owned by Disney.
And listen, right now, there's a big ratings war in the daytime stuff. I don't know if you guys have kept up with this at all. I get the news on this tangentially. I don't watch any of these, you know, Good Morning America or the Today Show or anything like that. But with
the morning shows,
with Matt Lauer getting kicked out and all the controversy Hoda Kotb coming in. Yeah, so there's kind of a ratings war right now. It makes perfect sense that they would drop it this week. The timing for the ratings war, the timing is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the perfect one of their properties to try to help support.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistent with what they've done before. And, you know, we talked about when it was going to drop. The Super Bowl would be okay, but I think it's too close to the release. I mean, really, they're a little bit behind the window.
Super Bowl's only 3 weeks
this.
From now, but you're right. We are behind the power curve on this originally, because normally they promote movies for, 7 to 8 months?
Right. And somebody was pointing out in Slack. They were saying in Slack, you know, well, you don't always do this. A lot of movies don't get trailers until, you know, a month or two before. But this is a Star Wars movie.
Mm.
And if you look at Star Wars, the Avengers, the DC movies, Harry Potter, the Matrix films, I mean, go back to any big tentpole franchise. It's not just a month or two in advance. That's for the little things. But for something big like this, a tentpole, you get teasers and trailers a long time in advance. And Solo is definitely a smaller Star Wars film. It's not one of the saga. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a little bit late.
And there's controversy over it because, I mean, even fans aren't clamoring for this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all going to go see it.
I'm excited about it.
I'm getting less.
I'm not. I mean, I'm going to see it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm not going to not see it opening night. But at the same time, I'm not going, oh, my God, I can't wait. When's the trailer coming out? You know, it's not that kind of a thing for me. And I think that's the fact of a lot of the fans. So, you know, the diehard fans are all going to go see it. The so-so fans that are, okay, yeah, I'll see it maybe, you know, within the first week or two, may not see this movie right away or until it's on video. The mainstream, I don't know. I mean,
how do you guys think it's going to do compared to Rogue One?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, ask me again after we've seen the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's a good discussion for next week.
That's why I'm looking forward to the trailers, because this is what I'm going to use to determine for myself how I think it's going to do. Right now, there are so many different directions it can go quality wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've said it before. This is not what I would have picked for not a saga film, but a standalone film, a Star Wars story film.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see the trailer first before I feel confident. And until I feel confident that I know what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it, I'm not willing to speculate too much on how it's going to do or anything. I think that releasing it this close to episode 8 is risky. I think doing Han Solo at all is risky, but we've talked about that before. I think the timing of this is risky. The marketing of it is tricky because people are still talking about the controversy of episode 8, though I know that's not something they could have predicted. They couldn't show the trailer before episode 8 because, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, they want people to focus on the new product. If you had the trailer attached to episode 8 with all of the stuff that there was to talk about in The Last Jedi, can you imagine coming out of the theater and then also having to have big discussions about the Solo trailer?
Oh, sure.
It'd be too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're waiting. They can't wait much longer than this.
No, they have to start getting this thing out there and start getting the hype built up about this thing.
Yeah.
Because there really isn't any hype at all right now.
I feel like it's too close. They need to push it back. It's too close.
You know, they push this back now with all the other stuff we've had going on. Yeah, it's going to be.
Oh, it'd be a madhouse.
So many negative things. Yeah,
it's too late to push it back now. Well, and there have already been rumors that that Disney and or Lucasfilm is worried about how well it's going to do. So, okay, you guys with your inside jokes in the video, keep in mind none of our audience.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm trying to figure it out.
I can't
either.
It's off the side of the camera from what I can see.
It's an air thing. Is he saying it's going to blow?
Well, no, because Eric has his spray bottle that he keeps holding up.
Well, because of the dog. And now the dog's tearing apart the...
So I grabbed a thing of canned air. Because I didn't want to be left out.
I've lost control. My cat's starting to climb the blinds over here, so I'm kind of yelling off the side of the camera here. But anyway, okay, back to the news.
Speaking of doing video podcasts, we need to talk. Anyway, go on.
So, I mean, I'm hoping we get this on Friday. I'll be more than excited to see a trailer for this. It'll be our first real chance to see what Ron Howard's done.
Yeah. You know, we still have a lot to talk about with The Last Jedi, though, too. We talked about before, and I know most recently on this week's episode of Random Chatter, you guys mentioned having kind of a network-wide discussion.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd still like to do that. I'd like to get some other people in to talk about it, too. But
yeah, I would too. Some other podcasters, some other shows, maybe get them on. And because, I mean,
there's a lot to analyze. The nature of the Force and the locations and the use of the locations or the lack of the use of the locations in the film. And, you know, we've got a whole new character to look at. And we've got a lot of character development for Finn to look at. He was used a lot more in this one than.
And all that backstory about Snoke we can talk about.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've read some incredible Snoke theories.
I want to dive into that cave thing and dissect that a little bit more.
Yeah. So there's still a lot to talk about. We could go almost the entirety of 2018 still just talking about The Last Jedi and not even touching Solo.
Right. Well, we will, but we're not going to be able to because we have to talk about Solo pretty soon.
Yeah, I know.
I hope.
Hope it doesn't suck. Or blow.
Or spray, right? Or, so there are some spoilers out there already. Lego has given some stuff out. There's some artwork I've seen out there for the Solo film on the corner of the box. Yeah. Toys spoil a lot of things, don't they?
Lego has been really good. The stories on the back
of things.
For years now about being the first to spoil it. And it always comes out of Europe. It's always the German Lego sites, it seems like. They get all of the information first about the ship designs, the character names. And
they have to start building up these ships, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've got to start mass producing these things. So if you're sensitive to spoilers, keep in mind there are some spoilers out there. There's a ship design that I see as being the big topic. When I think when people go see Solo, I think this is going to be one of the things that people walk out of the movie saying WTF.
And really?
I think it's going to be, listen, I know that it doesn't bother either of you two that much, and it's not going to ruin the movie for me. I'm not a fan of it at all, but I foresee it. And I'll go down as predicting it right now. And I don't want to give any spoilers, but when everybody goes in, it'll be obvious what I'm talking about right now. It's not going to be, oh, that's not what he was talking about. No, it's obvious. This is going to be the thing people are going to be most pissed off about, unless there's some big catastrophically bad thing in the movie. Like it turns out that Wookiee's age backwards and Chewbacca's completely gray haired and then his hair gets brown as we go into the other movies or something. Like, as long as they don't do something just absolutely crazy to mess it up, this will be the thing that people will be talking about and cranky about.
Now, are you talking, I have to ask you after the show because I don't know what you're talking about.
The ship design, Lou.
Most appropriate for this movie.
The ship design.
Yeah.
You have three guesses.
Yeah.
And
well,
the first two don't count.
I've seen the three sets that were leaked.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Well,
at the front.
Yeah.
Right at the.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right on the nose.
I get it. Yeah. Well, there was a. Fender bender, and you had to go into this body shop or something. I don't know.
Yeah. and here's the thing that bugs me about it is not just, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's different. It has to do with how it's different because it actually breaks canon.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
That I haven't analyzed that much, so I'll have to get your thoughts on that afterwards. So
you could explain it away, and I hope they will. And if they don't, I will still probably like the movie. Not a big deal. But right now,
okay,
this was one of the things I was looking forward to, and like I'm going to be buying merchandise and all that kind of stuff. And this is going to be one of those things where I will actively avoid this. No Christmas ornaments, no Lego sets, no little models, no nothing.
Really?
Yep. Not a single one.
Wow. What? Okay. Yep. Okay.
Now keep in mind, though, we're only going off of one image. It is a purportedly leaked image.
It's accurate.
Nothing is completely confirmed.
It's accurate. I've been doing this for years.
If you're going to fake that, you wouldn't fake it like that, right?
It's accurate. I'm telling you.
No, it probably is.
Yeah.
It probably is accurate. I will give you that.
Okay.
So fair warning, though. Spoilers are now starting to leak. Well, I mean, they've been leaking, but like now, once the Lego stuff hits, you know you're entering spoiler season.
Yeah.
So,
well, and we'll see what the trailer brings. You know, if this trailer is probably going to reveal some good imagery that a lot of folks are going to talk about, and if this trailer does in fact drop on Friday, definitely expect it. Our next episode is going to have some dissection of that trailer.
Our next episode being recorded when? Friday night? Friday afternoon?
Yeah, maybe.
We may very well drop a special.
Maybe. Whenever it comes out, I'm sure we'll record it.
You know, I hope it's a full trailer and not a teaser. That's all I'm going to say. That's the one thing that'll disappoint me if it's just a teaser. Like, no.
We're 3 months away. It's got to be a trailer.
Give us a freaking trailer, not a teaser.
Yeah. Give us a minute and 10 second teaser that's going to make you just more pissed off that you didn't get a trailer.
No. Unacceptable. I will get Lizzie on them. I will have Lizzie call Kathleen. And let me tell you, Kathleen does not want Lizzie to call her.
No, she does not.
I've heard Lizzie when she gets worked up.
Unleash hell.
Yes.
She will. Speaking of other things we're going to be getting, The Last Jedi coming to discs end of March. That seem right to you guys?
Yeah, that seems about the right time frame.
I know the pre-orders are up. You can pre-order iTunes already. It doesn't give you a date, but you can pre-order it.
My gosh, you can pre-order stuff on iTunes before it hits the theater now. You think it's early? Isn't this about the time that, Rogue One came out on DVD it came out on iTunes 2 to 3 weeks, I think, prior to Celebration, which was early April.
So, yeah, that'd probably be the right time then.
Mid-April.
Three weeks before, yep.
Yeah, so okay. It's about that
and
time.
And I think as time goes on, this turnaround is getting to be faster and faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with movies spending less time in the theaters, that's certainly the case. But with something like Star Wars that still makes money, 6 to 8 weeks after initial release, it does seem like it's coming pretty quick. I'm complaining.
I think by then it will be out of the theater. So they're not going to be cannibalizing any of their box office tickets. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's smart of them to get this out before the hype for Solo gets too big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I think it'll still be fresh enough in people's minds that they probably won't have to spend as much in the marketing to get it back in people's minds. I think this is a sweet spot. I think this is good. Plus, it keeps people like us. And I mean this generically, not you and me but it keeps people like us from pirating it. Because if we want to see it again, because we're big fans, and it's already left the theaters, that increases the temptation for people to pirate the movie if they have to wait that much longer for the video. And then if you do pirate it, you are less likely to purchase it if you can already watch it at home. And I don't endorse or condone any of that, but I'm saying it's just a fact. It's a business fact. You want to get it out there before people start saying, it's been too long, I want to see it again, where can I download it?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or you can go down to New York City on Canal Street and probably.
Is it Canal Street?
The...
Okay, I see. I'm not from New England. I didn't know which street it was. So,
yep. Canal Street, Chinatown. That's where you get all the, all the knockoff.
The shaky cam footage of some guy filming out of his coat. Yeah, right.
Now, speaking of quality, this will apparently also be the first Star Wars release in 4K. UHD.
Nice.
So, which I just got a 4K TV for the family for Christmas. So
awesome!
I'm still gonna get me a 4K TV.
Xbox One.
Get an Xbox One.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a player, and of course, then you've also got an Xbox, and the price. Get an Xbox One S, so it's not like the Pro version, so your wife doesn't complain as much. And the difference between the price of an Xbox One S versus a regular 4K DVD player is negligible.
That Eric's given any thought to this.
No, not at all. Well, that's how I got. I mean, that's what I ended up doing for 4K player. But the thing is, my TV doesn't do UHD. I don't think it's just 4K. It's not the ultra high definition.
And I went into the 4K high dynamic range TVs that are 240 hertz. Come down in price.
Yeah,
you can find fairly cheap 120 hertz, but that's no comparison.
No, listen, if you guys are in the market for TVs, go 4K, go HDR, and the faster refresh rate you can get, Lou, you are absolutely correct. 240 hertz, big difference. Don't worry about the size. I would rather have a 40 inch with 240 hertz than a 60 inch with anything.
Yeah, I mean, when we built our house, I ponied up for a 240 hertz. Samsung HD, and it was impressive. And I saw some ones that were 120. I'm like, I'm glad I spent the extra money. So
yeah, no, that's definitely one that's worth the extra money. Now, seriously, one thing though, the Xbox, if you use that as a 4K player, I've had some audio sync issues. Watched one movie on it, and it was Star Trek Into Darkness, and my wife just about slit my throat because I spent almost the entire movie fiddling with the menu settings for the Xbox, fiddling with the menu settings for the television, trying to get the audio to sync up. I looked it up on the internet, and apparently there's some sort of a known issue where the audio doesn't always sync up right. So don't maybe not actually use that as your 4K player.
Use the Apple TV 4K and just stream it right to your TV.
That's what I'm going to do. I've got to get a 4K Apple TV.
Yeah, I haven't bought one yet because I don't have a 4K TV, but it's coming.
Yeah, we upgraded our dish service for 4K. So.
Oh wow, good. Nice.
Yeah, it's made a big difference in a lot of the stuff. I mean, even the things that aren't in 4K, it that television with the other tech, you know, the fast refresh rate and all that kind of stuff. It's just the clarity is incredible.
Yeah. Well, for you people out there with 4K HDR televisions, you will now be able to watch The Last Jedi. You will be able to see Super Leia in all her splendor.
No.
Pull herself back. Listen,
Mary
guys,
Poppins,
it works.
Fly through the air.
It works. It makes sense in the story. I mean, there's no gravity, so all she needs is a tiny bit of inertia. She sees the slightest of force tugs, not even a force pull, just a tug to pull herself through the air. It makes sense.
Eric, I think we lost Eric. Did you hear him?
He's gone.
What's
gone.
Next?
It's just us, Lou.
We'll move along.
We got one last story. Because of course we can't not talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, since we're talking about movies coming up.
Man.
Ewan McGregor was asked about this at the Golden Globes, and he won Golden Globe for Fargo. I think.
Yep.
Fargo. Best actor in a limited series. Yep. Which I'm happy to see he's getting some recognition for that, because it's a good series to watch.
Yeah.
He was asked about playing the Obi-Wan Kenobi character again in a movie. And
because if you're a Star Wars actor, people can't leave you the F alone about Star Wars. It doesn't matter what you win an award for today.
Of course not. Right. So, this was after the awards. He was being interviewed by, I don't know who it was. He said, there's a lot of talk. I'd be happy to play him again, but I don't know anything more than you do. There's a lot of talk, but it's just that. There is no plan. I love the new one. I saw it over Christmas. It was really beautiful. So, he's definitely a fan, definitely wants to play us again, but they haven't approached him about it.
Well, he said there's a lot of talk.
Yeah, but that's just it. There's a lot of talk.
Okay, so they've approached him. That just means nothing's been signed and he can't say anything. There are a lot of different ways you can look at this.
He might be saying there's a lot of people talking about this.
Exactly.
That's what the studios are.
That could be what it is.
Fans could be other news sources. Who knows?
Right.
He didn't say the studios are talking about it.
He actually listens to Echo Base and he's heard us talk about it.
He said, yeah, those guys on Echo Base are talking about this a lot.
They've been talking about it a lot. But that's the thing. There are a few different ways you can take this. So unfortunately, we still don't really know anything other than that it is on his radar. And there's no plan,
I thought the funniest thing about this whole thing, it was a story on Dark Horizons. After all this stuff is going through, it says, a report last month suggested the film would be shooting in England's Pinewood Studio starting in January 2019 for a late 2020 release.
Right.
So all this talk, and all of a sudden, it'd be shooting next January. Wait a minute. There's nobody saying anything about this movie at all as far as being happening. Yeah. But they're going to shoot in January.
And it'll be directed by Stephen Daldry.
Yeah, right. Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, again, it's like, okay.
I don't know. Listen, if there's going to be an Obi-Wan movie, they already know about it. And by they, I mean, the Illuminati.
Yeah.
They.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm, Kathleen, Kiri, Pablo, Leland. So they already know about it, and they've already got it slotted out for when they're going to be filming. I mean, schedule-wise, it's already pretty much locked down somehow. They've got a speculative release date.
We thought they would have had sense. Yeah, I guess. But, we also thought they would have had a plan going forward with the, episodes 7, 8, and 9 were going to be.
Now let's... Hold on.
Evidently, they don't.
I want to clarify something with that. Okay? Ryan Johnson, when he was explaining it, pointed out that there were no story points that he was required to hit in the movie. That's not to say that they didn't have a basic concept, a treatment. And keep in mind, a treatment is a very specific term in Hollywood. It is not the same as a plot outline, and it is not the same as a script. A treatment is a handful of paragraphs, you know, 2 pages for any particular given film. Okay. It's a summary. So they, my understanding is there's a treatment for the trilogy as a whole.
Okay.
But there were no particular story points that Rian Johnson was being held to for The Last Jedi. So I just want to clarify that it's a nuanced distinction.
I see what you're saying. Okay. But it's still very suspicious to me to say that, okay, you have a free hand to tell the story you want to tell in episode 8 and let the pieces fall where they may.
But there were obviously things he couldn't do. He couldn't kill Rey.
Well, yeah.
He couldn't, you know, there were certain parameters, if you will. So he didn't have a completely free hand. And I think a lot of people are kind of spinning it like, oh, they just, you know, handed over the keys to the kingdom to this guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're being kind of facetious when you say he couldn't kill Rey. And of course he wouldn't kill Rey. I mean, you couldn't do that and keep your job. You'd be fired like the guys that were directing Solo.
Or you'd be told you couldn't do it. I mean, one of the things that they apparently liked about Rian was the fact that he understood, like Abrams did and does with all of the other studios Abrams works for, is that he might be in control of the project, but he answers to a boss. And that was something that Josh Trank apparently doesn't understand very well, not just with Lucasfilm, but with when he was working for Fox, he had issues there. That was something that, I mean, when you look at the people who were fired, it was the people who tried to go off and do their own thing with no regard to what Lucasfilm wanted. I think what they like about Rian Johnson is they can say, okay, here's what we kind of want you to do. And just keep in mind that you're still working for us. You're still accountable to us. And I think that the relationship that he had is different from the other directors that got fired. I think the approach and the attitude was a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think he understands that he works for someone else and he can't just go in and destroy everything. Of course, as I'm saying this, everybody's going to be quoting the Kevin Smith review where he said, you know, here's a list of the ways he just like totally screwed J.J. Abrams and right. gave the big F you to J.J. Abrams. Kevin Smith actually broke it down that way and it was kind of interesting. But I digress. I apologize.
That is okay. So, I mean, bottom line, there's still a lot of talk about this. It sounds like it's going forward. I think it makes a lot of sense that we're going to get an Obi-Wan movie at some point.
It makes sense that McGregor is going to do it. Like, you kind of have to get him.
Yeah, and I'm more excited about the potential of that than I am about the realization of of Solo coming out in 4 months.
I agree. And I never, you know me, I never want to see Tatooine again. Ever, 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 ever. But I'm more excited for this. I think there are more stories to tell there and more develop. It's not about the number of stories. It's about the development. There's more to see with the character there. We have a complete character arc for Han Solo. We know Han Solo. There's a lot about Obi-Wan that we don't know, at least not through that era. In the same way that we're complaining about not knowing enough about Luke now. So it makes sense to delve into Obi-Wan. We don't really need to delve into Han Solo during those years. But Obi-Wan, that's a different story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm more excited about this than anything else. I'll wait and see what we get. And hopefully, maybe by the end of the year, we'll have more firm details about this, maybe mid-year. I don't know.
I doubt it. We're not going to be that lucky. We'll get something at Celebration 2019.
You're hoping.
I'm hoping, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, at this point, I do have a fun fact for you guys this week.
Okay.
I did my homework. I came up with something that I think is not necessarily hard, but I think interesting.
It's not about Ewoks again, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I don't like the teddy bears, so.
Teddy Grahams. They need Ewok Teddy Grahams.
What I have a question for you guys, and I want to know how many and the names of the people.
Oh, jeez.
Well, hey, you know, I got to make it a little harder on you guys. How many people
Have
played or stop typing. Have had a hand in playing or in some fashion bringing Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader to visual medium?
Five.
Final answer. No. Do you have answers for them?
No. Six. Okay. Seven. Eight.
No, I'm talking movies and cartoons.
Oh,
not comics or just.
Oh, then it's more than five.
Now, are we talking television as well?
Well, you know, Rebels, yeah.
Well, no, so a holiday special, yes or no?
No.
Oh, jeez. Let me start the count over. Okay, hold on.
Sorry. Yeah. That's not canon.
All right. So starting from the beginning, chronologically, Jake.
Oh, so are we talking? So there's a good clarification. Are we talking canon? Canon only?
Yeah. Yep.
So not video games?
No. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm talking about visual media, not play media, not interactive stuff. It's movies and television.
Wow. Right. I thought I might actually be able to impress you guys there for a minute, but I guess not. now I'm back to being screwed. Okay. Let me think. Tim, you go ahead.
All right. Well, you have Jake Lloyd.
Yep.
You've got, and I can't think of his name. His name left me. Who played him in 2 and 3?
Hayden Christensen.
Thank you.
I was gonna say, wow. How do you forget that?
Names leave my head. I don't remember names very well.
I'm Lou. That's Eric.
Lou was one of them. Yes, so that's three. David Prowse is number three.
Yep. So you've got David Prowse. Of course. Yep. Are we also counting voiced as?
Yeah.
Voiced by?
Yep. I mean, he's part of bringing that character to life.
So that's who, Tim?
See again, names.
This is CNN.
Yeah, no, I know
Lion King
who he
guy,
is.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones,
yep.
All right, now who played the original Force Ghost of him in Return of the Jedi?
Oh.
Sebastian.
I forgot about him.
Was it Sebastian Shaw?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
all right.
So.
Now,
that covers... There's one other one that I did not know, and I researched this and found it, but I did not know this off the top of my head, so...
Which one did
you
not know?
The next one is the next one that you guys haven't gotten to yet.
All right. And is that the one from Rogue One?
No.
Okay.
Rogue One was someone else. And
I don't know who. So he would be number six, whoever he is. And I don't know who played him in Rogue One.
Okay. Actually, you know what? Then there's seven, because I don't know who the guy was in Rogue One, to tell you the truth, either.
Okay.
Seven was actually David Prowse's stunt double, or his double for the lightsaber scenes in.
Fair enough. Okay.
Jedi and Empire. Oh,
traditionally, really? You wouldn't count them as an actor covering the role, but to be fair, and in appreciation of the work that stunt actors do, let's count it.
But also, he did the lightsaber scenes. He was actually part of that character, not just the stunt double.
Fair enough.
He was actually doing those scenes. I totally forgot about the Rogue One.
So that would be seven. But then there's also, James Earl Jones did the voice in Rebels.
Correct.
For the premiere of Rebels. But what about the season three finale?
The only credit I found was James Earl Jones.
Okay. I'm curious as to whether he did the voice in the episode where he and Ahsoka fought or not.
Hmm.
Okay, interesting. Yep. No, the only credit I found was James Earl Jones. So I kind of went as that was the only one.
If we assume that that's someone else, then we might have eight.
Okay. Well, I've got two more credits for Darth Vader in Rogue One. Spencer Wilding and Daniel Nepris.
Okay. Because we had the one who was the actor and we had the one who was the stunt actor in the scenes on the Tantive IV.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're up to eight, if not nine. Again, I don't think it was James Earl Jones in that episode with Ahsoka. And if not, I'm going to count that for now until I find out otherwise. So that's nine. And who did the voice of Anakin in the Clone Wars cartoon?
I was just going to ask that one.
I forgot about that too, yeah.
Lou.
I've been schooled.
So that's 10. Schooled the teacher. Wow. Of course,
now
that name escapes me. So,
yeah, I don't.
I keep wanting to say James Arnold Taylor, and it's obviously not because he did.
No,
it's not,
I was just thinking
and
that
it's
too,
not
but
Sam Witwer, and it's not Dee Bradley Baker, is it?
So I'm
feel like an idiot right now. When you look it up and find out who it is. But so
I'm looking right now.
To my knowledge, for canon, there are 10. And again, that's if I'm correct about the James Earl Jones thing in the later season of Rebels. If not, then we're looking at 9.
And that's a pretty good list. So we've
covered
now, Wait a minute. Was it Hayden Christensen?
Matt Lanter was Anakin. Yep.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Right. Yep. Okay. I knew I was going to feel like an idiot when you said the name. Was it Hayden Christensen at the end of Revenge of the Sith in the Vader costume?
It was. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good question.
As far as I know, yeah, he begged to do that.
Okay. So we've got 10.
Cool.
10 Vaders.
Very cool.
That's a good one. That was tricky.
It was even more tricky than I thought, but yeah, no, it was good.
That's a tricky one. I'm glad we
nailed that down too. That's awesome. Who wants to do the feedback?
I'll do this one. I grabbed this out of the out of the bin here. This is from Dan from England. And I have to say I'm a little bit partial to our international listeners. So when I see one, I tend to grab one of those. Dan wrote a long letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but a couple of points that I wanted to throw in here. He said, personally, I always wanted more of Luke and Han together. He's referring to The Last Jedi. As I love the way they bounced off each other. And I also wanted to see more of Luke at the peak of his powers, battling his enemies and generally kicking butt. However, I did like the way it was handled. So regarding that, I have to say I liked what they did with Luke with the battle between him and Kylo Ren. I thought that actually, he didn't kick butt necessarily in the sense that he wasn't aggressive and he didn't attack. But I mean, he made a fool of Kylo Ren and mm-hmm. obviously bested him like hands down. I thought that battle was impressive. And while it wasn't impressive in the same way that the battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin in Revenge of the Sith was, it was something we hadn't seen before. And I liked that. I really liked the fact that it was unique. But yeah, you know, I never really thought about the fact that Luke and Han always did have this kind of a banter back and forth through the original trilogy. And that was completely gone from the sequel trilogy. And I understand why. It makes sense why, but I miss it. I mean, I think that would have been nice to see. You guys agree?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Dan also says, I was under the impression that the story group had a really tight rein over where the franchise was going and how the films would progress. In fact, I assumed that the fact that they were keeping things on such a tight leash was behind the decisions to get rid of directors. So, you know, Dan, that's a really good point. And a lot of people point that sort of thing out. A lot of people have some confusion over the role of the story group. And it's something I know Pablo's had to clarify a few times, Kiri Hart, Leland Chi. I apologize because I know that if for no other reason than out of respect for the work they do, I should know the other people in the story group, and I don't. I know those three and that's it. But there seems to be some confusion over the role of the story group. And if I have this correctly, it's they don't really create the story. Stories are presented to them. And I don't even want to say that they tweak the stories necessarily, but they provide resources. They act as basically a human Wikipedia for the creators, whether it be an author for a book or whether it be a producer for a video game or whether it be directors and screenwriters for the films. They go to the story group and they say, this is what we want to do. And the story group does things like, well, you can't use Kessel for that, because that doesn't work. Kessel was destroyed back in such and such, but here are some other planets you could use instead. And based on what you're telling me, Crate sounds like it might be a good option.
Right.
They act as a resource for the creators. They don't create things themselves. They don't sit down and say, okay, this is where we're taking the story. Anybody who comes to us to make one of the films, you know, we're the gatekeepers that you have to do what we say or else you're out. The firing of the directors, it's a little ominous looking because there were so many of them in such a short period of time, but they all had very specific reasons. Josh Trank was going to be doing the Boba Fett movie, and there were a lot of things going on behind the scenes with him when he was doing the Fantastic Four film that really irked the people, apparently. that he was working with Fox. There was some pushback between him and Lucasfilm, and they decided before things got moving very far at all that he was just not going to work out, and so they let him go. The two guys from the Lego movie that we're working on, Solo, they took the script that they were provided by the screenwriters, and they decided to improve upon it as they went. There's some directors who like to really create on the fly. There are other directors who they just go by the script and they'll tweak some things that they have to. These guys, and they're good at what they do. I mean, they're good guys. The Lego movie was great, but they had their own vision for Star Wars. The fault in this, I put on Lucasfilm for not checking in earlier in the process to see how things were going. Because if they had, they could have course corrected a lot sooner, or they could have gotten rid of them sooner. But either way, it's kind of on Lucasfilm that they trusted them a little too much to the point where there was no oversight. There was no checking in on them. Mm-hmm. And then when they found out they were making a radically different story than what Lucasfilm thought they were getting, then they had to fix the problem. And then who was going to do episode 9? Was it Trevorrow?
Gareth
Edwards did Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah.
And honestly, off the top of my head, I forget what the deal with him was, but it had nothing to do with the story group.
Yeah, I think the things you're saying are pretty accurate as far as the stuff that I've heard in regard to the story group. Johnson spoke, he was cited in a couple of interviews, I think, about his interactions with the story group, and they went very much along the lines of what you mentioned, Eric, that he was really able to go to them and not so much pitch ideas, because these were the storylines that were going to happen, but he was able to go to them and explain what his thoughts were and his ideas for these storylines. And they were able to give suggestions here and there. And he was able to ask them questions and say, well, hey, you know, how do I connect this? Or what planet should we go to for this? Or I need a character to put in here. And they were able to generate some ideas for him. So
right,
that lines up very much. I mean, they're not gatekeepers. That is definitely what they are not, at least from everything that we've heard.
Yeah, they're not there to guide the story. They're there to keep all of the stories consistent.
Mm-hmm.
They are mm-hmm. continuity gatekeepers. They're not creative gatekeepers.
Right.
But that's a really good, it's not a question for us, but I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up, Dan, because that's something a lot of people are very confused about. And I think that if people have a better understanding of the story group and what they actually do, they'll probably be a little bit more forgiving for some of the things they blame on the story group. So I'm glad that Dan brought this up. Thanks for writing in, Dan. That was a great letter.
Yeah,
I apologize that we didn't read the whole thing, but those two things in particular, I think, kind of stood out. So thank you.
And I think also, you know, there are certain creatives. So like Dave Filoni obviously is in charge of animation, and you know, mm-hmm. he has a vision for grand story arcs. So he probably knew. I don't know if he knew, you know, it. The beginning of season one, where he wanted to end up in the end for Rebels, but probably by the time he was getting through season two, he probably had in his mind this vision for where he wanted to end Rebels and where he wanted things to go. And certainly as they were doing the Clone Wars, he had a lot of these big arcs and the major story beats season for season, you know, at least roughly outlined. You have the folks who do the comics, and I know Matt Martin is the story group connect for the folks over at Marvel. So they are regularly interfacing with Matt to check in and make sure that things have that consistency that Eric mentioned. So yeah, they're I don't think they're stifling creativity at all. They're just making sure that things line up amongst each other, because when you have a lot of different media and you have these different creatives, and, you know, obviously the movies are going to kind of do what the movies do, and there's not much holding them back because that's the main storyline. But when Lucasfilm hit that reset button for Star Wars canon, they wanted to make sure that moving forward, everything lined up. So the books and the comics and the movies and the animation and anything else that's out there is going to kind of all fit in this box. Some of it may be a little bit more on the fringes and these things that they term canon adjacent. You know, things like the Star Wars Lego, the Freemaker series, you know, that isn't, well, these aren't canonical stories, but they're fun things that kind of wander in and out of canon. You know, but there are obviously the things that really are strict canon that they're trying to adhere to and make sure that these things have as many connections as possible and to eliminate any contradictions or conflicts.
Now, speaking of contradictions and conflicts, you were talking about the canon adjacent stuff. I thought it was really funny when that book that we still haven't talked about yet from a certain point of view came out. I heard a lot of people online getting grumpy about the fact that, oh, they promised us the books were all going to be canon now. And then they're saying that this one isn't really canon and blah, blah, blah. That's not what they promised us. They promised us that everything that was canon was going to be at the same level of canon.
Right.
That was what they promised us. What we had before was varying different levels of canon. There's a whole system. There was G-level canon, which was anything George Lucas himself created. And then there was, I forget what all the codes were, but there was another level of canon that was the Clone Wars and stuff that was George Lucas sanctioned, but was created by Pablo. And then there was another level of stuff, the books and then the comics and then the holiday special and the Legos. Now there, it's either canon or it's not.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Now, from a certain point of view, is not. So they didn't promise us it would be just because it's a book. Mm. They just said that if it were canon, everything is canon at the same level. So that's another thing that, you know, all of these different things that pop up, people get confused about when it comes to the story group. I think it's important that I kind of wish they were a little bit more clear about what they do. And Pablo, God bless him, he's tried.
Yeah.
He's tried really hard.
And he's gotten beaten up.
Yeah.
But he's also very good in terms of, you know, trying to answer questions, especially the good questions. And I know, you know, last year, Pablo went into an explanation of some of the canonical things where people were saying, well, okay, you have two supposed canonical sources which are contradicting each other. They're telling a slightly different story. And basically Pablo's response to it was, put yourself into the story. And it's, as an example, it's, you know, Lou, Eric, and I happen to be in the same location doing something. And then someone asks each of us to tell our story of what happened, you know, what happened that night when the three of you guys went out. I'm going to have a certain perspective of it. Lou's going to have a perspective. Eric is going to have a perspective. They're all truth. They may not all be completely fact because they're washed through our own perspectives. And these are things that we observe or don't observe or, you know, our own particular filters, but they are a version of the truth. And that's what Pablo is expressing, that you can have things that happen in the Star Wars universe that are told by, it's the same story told by different people. And they're both largely canon. If there's some big fact that you're trying to figure out, well, it's unknown.
Right. Sometimes characters narrate stories and characters lie.
Yeah.
Sometimes the narration in a story is not reliable because it's being told by a character.
Right.
And you know, the other thing is people make mistakes.
Sure.
Something someday is going to slip through and be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it.
Someone's going to put a third son on Tatooine, and that's just going to make the whole fandom go crazy.
Yep. It's supposed to be all daughters. Oh, wait. Never mind.
So in closing,
Lou, get us out of here.
Anyway, yeah, let's go. Let's punch it. Okay, if anybody has any feedback for us or has anything they want to ask us, you can do so by sending an email to us at echobase@randomchatter.com. That's where to get to all three of us.
And you can find us online on Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. At Echo Base Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter, as well as at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, where can we find you?
Just at my name. It's at Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI.
All right. And Tim?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
All right. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. Don't forget, we have another Star Wars show in the network. Aren't you a little short for a podcast? We also have, we gave a preview of our Getting Sidetracked show prior to the new year. But now that we are in 2018, we're going to hit the ground running with that. Mm-hmm. And we've still got an episode of Movie Rampage covering The Last Jedi coming, don't we? Hint, hint.
Yes. Sometime yes. very soon. Now sure. That, now that Liz is back in the country. We will be recording that very shortly.
All right. So check out all of that stuff over at randomchatter.com.
We certainly appreciate that you spread the word and help support us. Leave us some great reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you might be getting your podcast from. Click on all the stars, write in some good narrative to tell people why you like Echo Base. And hopefully they can it'll make people flock to us. Be sure to tell your friends, family, coworkers, total strangers, anyone who you see, you know, like Eric, who's wearing his Boba Fett t-shirt. Hey, you must like Star Wars, and strike up a conversation. Talk to them about podcasts. There's a lot of great Star Wars podcasts out there. And we definitely appreciate if you steer folks in our direction. If you enjoy us, hopefully they will too. We also appreciate some financial support as the network kind of continues to grow. And as Eric mentioned, we've got other Star Wars podcasts. We've got other podcasts covering a variety of other things. And we have more things coming up this year. So you're going to see more change and more growth from us this year. You can contribute to our efforts by way of Patreon. So you can hit us up at patreon.com/randomchatter. That gives you all the information that you need for how to contribute to us. The minimum contribution is $1 a month. And that gets you, basically, whenever you make a contribution to us, we also give back to you. So it's $1 a month or $5 or $10 a month, however much it is. You're giving to us, we're giving back to you. And just that $1 a month will get you access to our Slack community, which we pretty much reference in almost every podcast. We'll talk about some conversation that occurred in Slack or some interaction. We have channels in Slack for each one of our shows and different topics like movies and TV and books and Star Wars and all sorts of good stuff. So please be sure to check out patreon.com/randomchatter to see how you can support us. And we greatly appreciate it. Our shows are sponsored by you, our listeners.
All right. The music you hear in this podcast is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller and The Force Theme by Scandroid. Chewie, get us out of here.
With that, that's the end. So we will see you guys in about a week.